Pastor Steve. There's junior church if you want your child to go that way. Otherwise, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. As we work our way through the book of Proverbs, come to a section I titled Wisdom's Urgent Call. You know, yesterday, May 18th, you know what the anniversary of May 18th is? Anybody remember? So 44 years ago, yesterday, Mount St. Helens erupted. How many remember that? You know, several, and if you were alive during that time, you remember that day. But the eruption of Mount St. Helens, there were several warning signs that took place. In fact, on March 16th, there's a series of small earthquakes that occurred in the Cascade Mountains. But these small earthquakes, unless you were a geologist, it probably didn't mean much. But there were other warning signs. The afternoon of March 20th, 1980, there was a magnitude 4.2 earthquake that rocked the state of Washington. And that earthquake activity lasted several days. Along with some volcanic tremors that continued to take place in the days to come. The mountain ejected steam and other material on April 21st. And then between April 21st and May 16th, it largely stopped. But during this time, there was probably the biggest warning of all. And if you remember watching this on the news, and the north slope of the mountain had swelled to about 450 feet. It was growing at a rate of about 5 feet per day. And so there were a lot of warnings to people as they saw, you know, the geologists saw this bulge growing. Warnings went out to stay out of this area because an eruption was imminent. And so they had, the government in Washington there had set up a red zone, and I believe it was about a 13-mile radius around the mountain where you were told you could not be in that zone. Of course, many people took that as an invitation to come to that zone. And if you recall this eruption, probably the most well-known account was a man named Harry R. Truman, no relation to Harry S. Truman, but he ran a resort on Spirit Lake right towards the base of the mountain. And they told him to get out to evacuate that area, and Harry refused. In fact, he's quoted as saying, "I don't have any idea whether it will blow or not, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up." He displayed little concern about the volcanic activity, the earthquakes. He said, "If the mountain goes, I'm going with it. This area is heavily timbered. Spirit Lake is between me and the mountain is a mile away. The mountain ain't gonna hurt me." The mountain erupted on May 18th, and they never found his body. He was one of 57 that had died. A family of four also that went into that red zone, they died. Mom, dad, and two of their kids. And so this eruption took place. Truman's body's never recovered. The warnings were ignored by 56 other people in that eruption, including that family of four that failed to heed the warnings. Now, we've been going through Proverbs, and we've seen warning after warning. We've seen this call to wisdom. We've seen warnings about the adulterous woman. And in chapter 8, we're going to see this urgent call, from wisdom. So let's pray, and then I'll read a section. We'll expound on it and work our way through this chapter. Father, thank you again for the day, the opportunity that we have to gather corporately, to open your word, to study it, to learn from it. And I just pray today as we look at the urgent call of wisdom, that we would respond to that call. We'd recognize our need and respond to the call of wisdom. Lord, your word teaches us how to live, how to have the good life, not only in eternity, but here and now as well. So Lord, may we listen to your word and apply your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. And in verses 1 through 5, if my clicker will work, Clarence might have to advance that. We're going to see wisdom's urgent invitation. Look at chapter 8, 1 through 5. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools be of an understanding heart. And so you see wisdom's urgent message or urgent invitation in verses 1 through 5. And notice where she cries out. She's crying out. She lifts up her voice. It's an extremely urgent message. I go back to the eruption of Mount St. Helens, and there's these warnings. Don't stay out of this red zone. Stay away from it. And this call from wisdom is much more urgent than that. But she calls from the top of the hill. Beside the way, it says where paths meet. Where paths meet, what does that indicate? That a decision has to be made. How many times have we come in life, you come to a fork in the road, you have to make a decision. And wisdom is crying out. You know, and where does wisdom cry out from? I can remember, I think back in numerous times, you know, I've heard my parents call out wisdom. They give me wisdom. Grandparents, Sunday school teachers, godly people saying, hey, don't go that direction. And so you come to this fork in the road and you have a decision to make, and wisdom calls out an urgent invitation to go this way. And so you have this urgent call. She cries out from the gates of the city, at the entrance of doors. And this is a very urgent message, and it's an urgent message that, and we must respond to the call. How many times can you think of in your life where someone has given you some godly advice, and you're at that fork in the road, and wisdom is crying out from God's word, from different people, and they're saying, don't go that direction, and you ignore that call? And you have to respond to the call. You and I have to respond to wisdom's call. It cries out. Wisdom has cried out numerous times, and we can reject that call or we can respond to that call. But before we can even respond, we need to recognize the need. How many of us need wisdom that comes from God? Do you need it? I need it. How often do we need it? And every day, every second of the day, every decision you make, recognize the need. And if you go back to this text, look at verse 5. O you simple ones. So the cry is coming out on the hilltop, the gates of the city where paths meet. It's crying out to the simple ones. Understand prudence. Verse 5, and you fools, be of understanding heart. Now you might sit here and say, I'm not a simple one. I'm not naive. I'm not a fool. But go back to verse 4. What are the first two words of verse 4? To you. Who's wisdom crying out to? It's calling out to you. It's calling out to me. I need to recognize my need for God's wisdom in my life every second of every day. I need wisdom that comes from God. I need to recognize the need, and then I need to respond to that call. No matter who you are, this call is to you. This call is to me. We need God's wisdom. We need to respond to that call. I need this wisdom that comes from God every second of every single day. Do we seek God's wisdom when we're making a purchase of a house, a car, when you're looking for a spouse? Do we seek God's wisdom when we make a job change, when we consider a move? Do we seek God's will when we're looking at entertainment choices or daily decisions? Or do we just jump in and lean on our own understanding? We're reminded in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Do we seek God's will when we make decisions? I mean, even if they seem like small decisions, do we seek His will and way? Think of the book of Judges. What were they doing? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, right? And when you lean on your own understanding and you're where paths meet, what's going to happen? You're going to take the wrong path and you're going to face the consequences of it. You and I need God's wisdom every single day. And so wisdom's urgent invitation, respond to the call, but you got to recognize the need. Now look at verses 6 through 11 and look at wisdom's compelling motivation. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. Wisdom's compelling motivation, first of all, wisdom's truth is absolute. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Absolutely. There is a right and there is a wrong. But wisdom's truth is absolute. You look at this text and it says it's excellent, it is noble, it is right, it is truth. You know, the world pushes diversity, that all religions are equal, and the world says, if it feels good, do it. Or I've heard people say, you know, we have the Wild Rice Festival booth ministry, and you share the gospel with people, and people will say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You know there will be a lot of sincere people in hell? They'll be sincerely wrong. It does matter what you believe. And wisdom's truth is absolute. Truth that comes from God is unchanging. This doesn't change, does it? This doesn't change. Our culture changes. In fact, there's gay pride celebrations coming up in Grand Rapids. And one of the leading supporters of that gay pride, there's nothing gray about it, is the Episcopalian Church in Grand Rapids. How can that church support that? What changed? Did God's Word change? No? Okay, there we go. You guys are awake. God's Word didn't change. They changed. This is absolute truth. This doesn't change. And the compelling motivation, it is truth. God's Word doesn't change. Its truth is excellent. It is right. Look at verse 7. It is righteous. It says it is plain or straightforward in verse 9. And you know, unbelievers can't discern the truth of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually blind. But for the believer, the truth of God is straightforward. It's right here for us. We just need to look to God's Word. Compelling motivation to seek out the wisdom that comes from God is it's truth and it's absolute. It doesn't change. This is our instruction manual. So wisdom's truth is absolute and wisdom's value is incomparable. We've talked to this point several times already in our study of Proverbs. But look at the value of wisdom in verses 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. You know, anything that you desire, humans desire, can't be compared with the wisdom that comes from God. But humans, look around and people spend their life acquiring stuff. You know, my dad certainly wasn't materialistic at all. In fact, I remember having to run across, we're down, so it was over 40 acres because I had to take the diagonal. We're putting in fence posts and clay, and he wouldn't buy a power auger. I had that, it was blue, you had to twist it. And that clay was hard. And the only way to soften it up to get a fence post in was pour water in that hole. And he said, run up to the house and get a bucket of water. And I'm thinking, my Uncle David has a four-wheeler, and he has 2 acres. And he had a power auger. So he wasn't materialistic in any shape or form, but when he died, we actually threw away 3 dump trailer fulls of stuff, you know, that he thought he would use. But we collect stuff. We pursue stuff. We chase after stuff. We spend our life doing that. And people spend 30 years preparing for retirement that maybe they'll enjoy for 20 years. But how much preparation is made for things that have eternal value? Do we spend a fraction of the time pursuing godly wisdom? You know, the value of godly wisdom is priceless. And you've seen the MasterCard commercials, you know, two baseball tickets, $40. Two hot dogs, two sodas, $45. Autographed baseball, $50. Time with your son, priceless. You've seen those commercials. And that time with your son is priceless, or your daughter. But think of the wisdom that comes from God. Nothing compares with that value. But how much time do we spend pursuing this? You know, opener, Carrie and I went over to Bowstring, and the North Landing, you couldn't back a boat in there, it was too shallow. So that's where we went and couldn't land, I had some good insight that there was a dock there, by the way. I won't say where that came from. But I went around to the Oetenegan Landing, and we landed there, and I backed up, and I got the boat already, Carrie backed in, then she had to go a quarter mile to park. But out on the lake, there's $80,000 boats. The trailer's being pulled by an $80,000 truck. There's graphs that are, you know, they're $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. I mean, if you can afford it and your wife isn't going to shoot you and you can do it for God's glory, have at it. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But I wondered how many are so far in debt and they are so far in debt that they're a slave to their job. Or how many, and they've pursued that and haven't given this a second of their day. And that's the point. This is, how valuable is this? And it'll sit on a shelf and collect dust. We don't open it. We don't read it. We don't apply it. This, do we understand how valuable this is? You know, as Marvin prayed, he mentioned there's people in other countries that can't gather like this. Priceless. God's wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God is so valuable. Its value is incomparable. Look at verses 12 through 21. Wisdom's current benefits. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Look at verse 15. By me, so by wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may find or fill their treasuries. Wisdom's current benefits. Wisdom enables one to rule well. Verse 15, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. And wisdom enables one to rule well. What's wrong with our country today? How many rulers have sought the wisdom that comes from God? Very, very few. And as a result, we're not being ruled well. We don't see justice. The wisdom that comes from God enables one to rule well. Prudence, knowledge, discretion. Wisdom teaches to hate what God hates and to love what God loves. Wisdom teaches us to hate evil. And counsel and understanding and strength are byproducts of wisdom. You look at the mess that this country's in, it's because we have leaders who don't look to this at all. And some may call themselves Christians, but it's by name only. And that's it. They're fakes. And we need to pray for our leadership. I complain a lot about them. I need to pray more. Pray for the salvation of those that are in leadership. We need to pray for the salvation of our president. Because if he was saved, he could rule well. We need to pray for those that are in leadership. Pray that they would be saved, because that will enable them to rule well. But then we also see wisdom provides material wealth. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. The pursuit of wealth, the love of money, is not correct. In fact, it is the root of all evil. On the other hand, though, wisdom, if we apply the wisdom that comes from God, will you have a biblical, and you have a biblical work ethic, will that bring material gain? You have a good work ethic, you have prudence, you have knowledge, you have integrity, you have character. There is, and you see this in verse 21, that I might cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And again, it's not a prosperity gospel. But generally speaking, if you do follow the wisdom that comes from God, you're not going to be in debt to your ears. You are going to have a good work ethic. You are going to hold down a job, and you will be able to live comfortably. Now, you can go to Scripture, and we see in Job. Job was a wise man, and do we face hardships? We will. We will face trials. We will face hardships. Job did. He was being tested. Job was blessed before and after. You think of Paul, who faced beatings and scourgings and persecution, and yet Paul told believers, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. You go to 1 Peter, and the believers are being persecuted, and yet that light affliction is but for a moment. So I'm not saying that hard times won't come, because it will. But the reality is if you pursue the wisdom that comes from God, there is earthly blessing. There is blessing that comes. Then we see wisdom's divine character in verses 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me. Now, again, this is wisdom personified. So wisdom says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was an earth, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Wisdom's divine character. Wisdom existed before creation. He possessed me at the beginning of his way, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth, verse 23. And wisdom existed before creation. So before creation, what, or should I say, who existed before creation? The Godhead, right? That's all that existed before creation, and there's wisdom. Wisdom was not only did it exist before creation, but it was involved in creation. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. And wisdom is involved in creation. Is there before creation? It was involved in creation. And what can we determine from that? What is this wisdom? Wisdom equals God. This is wisdom that belongs to God. This is wisdom that comes from God. So all this time we see wisdom speak out in Proverbs. It's not my wisdom. It's not your wisdom. It's wisdom that comes from God. Where do we find it? Where do we find it? Right here. We have His Word and we have the Spirit that guides us into all truth. So wisdom's divine character, it existed before creation, it was involved in creation, it rejoiced over creation. What did God say after He created everything? It is what? It's very good. Rejoiced over creation. This wisdom that we're talking about, it's wisdom that is sourced in God. This wisdom that has great value, that offers earthly benefits, it's sourced in God. It's not worldly wisdom. It's not wisdom that you gain from academia. It comes from God. And then we have wisdom's certain promise. Look at verses 32 through 36. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds what? Life. And obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Wisdom, certain promise. Listen and be blessed. That's the good life. Listen and be blessed. Enjoy the good life. And again, it's not a life without pain or sorrow or suffering. We're going to face that. But can you have joy in the midst of it? Absolutely. You can. We can count it all joy when we face various trials. We see that in the book of James. Or we see that light affliction that's but for a moment can't compare with the glory that will follow. We can listen to wisdom and be blessed. You're at the crossroads. You have a choice to make and you follow the wisdom that comes from God. You will be blessed. It's a life of blessing. Listen and be blessed. Listen and live. And I'm sure that if we took time this morning and I asked for testimonies here. How many here have been blessed? We've received blessings that come from God, haven't we? And we could go around and we could take time and we could stay here for hours listening to testimonies of how God has provided, how God has blessed, as we have sought out the wisdom that comes from God. Listen. Respond to the cries of wisdom and be blessed. You won't suffer as an evildoer. You'll find favor in this life. You'll walk according to the counsel of God, God's Word. So listen and live. Listen and live a life of favor in this world and live forever in heaven. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Before you can have the beginning of wisdom, and that's that vertical axis on which everything else is carried, is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. That's where wisdom begins. And then we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having a personal relationship with God through Christ is the beginning of wisdom. And with that is the blessing of eternity with God. And as we continue to study and learn and grow and apply His Word to our lives, we have blessing in this life as well. And so I have 3 minutes to wrap this up. And here's the so what. Wisdom is calling out to you. Wisdom's calling out to you. In the gates, at the crossroads, on a high hill. It might be your parents that are speaking into your life. It might be grandparents, it might be a godly friend, a godly neighbor, picking up God's word, reading God's word, and obeying God's word. I mean, wisdom is calling out to you. Wisdom's calling out to me. We have decisions to make every single day. Whether they're huge major decisions or what we might call small decisions, wisdom is calling out to us to rely on the wisdom that comes from God. Recognize your need and respond to her call. And then reap the benefits of the good life, both now and for eternity. Just a challenge to me and to you all as well. And we have this wisdom that comes from God. You're a believer, you have the indwelling spirit. You have the Bible, you have the wisdom that comes from God. Are we seeking that out in every area of our life, every decision we have to make? It's here for us and it's calling out to us. You might be at a major crossroad, a major decision, and you lean on your own understanding. Where is that going to take you? It's never good when we lean on our own understanding. Seek out that wisdom from God, respond to the call, and have the good life both now and for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word again, and just this reminder of an invitation, an urgent invitation from you to respond to your wisdom, to heed your call, to follow your call, to seek your word, your will, and obey it and to follow it. So Lord, we just thank you for this reminder. I pray that we would recognize our need, respond to the call. And thank you, Lord, for the benefits of that. And so may you be glorified in our response to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right.